In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verses 16 and 17 is found what I've always enjoyed reading over and over again. The Syrians were doing their best to take over Israel. One night they came, all of them at the same time, and they surrounded the city where Elisha lived. Elisha apparently was training some young prophets, at least that's what many scholars believe. The Bible does tell us that there were some young prophets who were living there either with him or near him. And so the next morning, after the Syrians had surrounded the city, Elisha and one of his young servants or prophets were out doing their chores, and suddenly it dawned on this young prophet, the whole world is full of Syrians. Everywhere he looked, there were Syrians. And he said, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" In other words, what in the world are we going to do? And Elisha said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." That young prophet must have thought this old man has lost his mind, because he couldn't see anybody but just himself and Elisha. And everywhere else he looked, there were Syrians. And Elisha prayed and said to the Lord, "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Bible says that when he saw, he looked, and all of the hills were full with horses and chariots and help. What Elisha told him was true. He hadn't seen it because God's help was beyond natural vision at that time. And so what a beautiful lesson. We need to open our eyes and see. I'm not suggesting that God's help for his people today is miraculous in the same way that it was for Elisha and Samaria. I'm not suggesting that. But I am telling you that God's help is beyond our being able to see it. We don't understand how he does things. I don't, you don't either. In fact, the scripture tells us that his ways are past finding out. So I don't know how he accomplishes his purposes, but I know he does. And you know, when you think about it, what Elisha did, this young prophet was able to see in the older prophet something that he hadn't been able to see before. And there's a great lesson for us, because in the Word of God are answers for us that nobody else can furnish. No one else can give you the answers that the Word of God can. You know, in the 5th chapter of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, Elisha's servant Gehazi learned a lesson in a similar fashion. You remember after Naaman was cleansed, and then Naaman, of course, wanted to reward Elisha, and Elisha wouldn't have it. And so he sent him on his way, and after this man left, remember, Gehazi decided to go and take advantage of the help that Naaman had offered. Well, he did, and I'm skipping a lot. But when he came back and he went into the house, Elisha saw him, and he said, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" He said, "Thy servant didn't go anywhere." But he did. And Elisha said, "Do you think my heart didn't go with you when you went?" In other words, I know where you've been and I know what you've done. And his punishment was that the leprosy that had left Naaman was going to fall on him, and it would be on him and his seed forever. Gehazi was able to see through the old prophet some things he didn't know either. He didn't understand the penalty of sin. And I think sometimes we don't either. When I look around, and especially among our own people, when I see the lack of care and the lack of dedication in some places that we see, and I'm trying not to be negative about this, but you know, George just mentioned ball games and that kind of thing. And it is true that the services of the church sometimes suffer because of frivolous things. Well, we need to open our eyes and see, because there are things beyond our vision that we don't understand, things we don't know. And one thing we need to learn, brethren, and that is that sin many times brings consequences we cannot imagine. We do not understand what this decision that we make today may bring about later. It sometimes will change the course of history, not only for us, but for all of our family. You know, if you want to see the answer to the great questions of the world today, if you want to know what God thinks about what this nation has just recently legalized all over the 50 states, read the first chapter of Romans. You'll see there some answers there that nobody else in the world can give you. There are many things in the Word of God that we don't get anywhere else. No scholar can give it to you. No philosopher, no professor. The answers to some questions are found in the Word of God. I'm not saying that every answer is found there. Sometimes God doesn't give us the answer. We're expected to wait and see later. But the Word of God furnishes us some great, great things. Many years ago, I remember that I was riding with Clovis and Velma Cook. Clovis, many of you may not realize, was my brother-in-law. Velma was my older half-sister. We were riding to church one Sunday morning down to Claxton. I was supposed to preach down there. And Clovis had been given a topic for an upcoming preacher's study. And he was concerned about that, and we're riding along, and he said, "Don, I've got this topic. He said, "Do you know where a man could find some good information on that?" And before I could say a word, Velma answered from the back seat and said, Bible, that's where I'd start." And I said, "Well, Clovis, that's where I'd start. That's the best answer that I know." And what we need to understand is that you're not going to beat the Word of God. It is absolutely right, and it is the only thing that really matters in the world today. Do you realize how bad and how black sin is? The very name of Jesus means Savior. The Bible tells us in Matthew 1 and verse 21 that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son and would call his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. How do we know how bad sin really is? Only when we visit the cross and view it and understand what it was all about can that be understood. There's where the blood of Jesus was shed. And our sins are bad enough that it took the very best that heaven had to cancel the sin debt of men. Sin caused the death of the Son of God. What a horrible price was paid to bring forgiveness of our sins. I'm going to just read a passage of scripture and then I'm finished. I think my time is getting close and nobody would be mad at me if I quit early anyway. In 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 through 18, here's what the Apostle Paul said. Listen to this and think about it carefully. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Listen, "wherefore comfort one another with these words." These words were not spoken originally to scare you to death. These words were spoken to be a comfort to you. Do you realize that sin is so bad, but the blood of Jesus is so powerful, it can cancel those sins and we can be saved? That's what we're all talking about this evening. That's the name of the game. That's the reason that it's important for you to study your Bible. It is so important. I'll never forget the little statement that Linwood used to make. He used to say, "You know, we've got people that can tell you everything in the world, but they don't know who the mother of John the Baptist was." One night he said that, and I spoke to a young preacher after services. I said, "Do you know who the mother of John the Baptist is?" And he said, "You know, I don't know why Linwood keeps saying that. Everybody knows it was Mary." So I told him where to go read. The next night I said, "Did you find out who the mother of Jesus was?" He said, "Yeah." "Well, I didn't know that's who that was." I said, "Well, what was his father's name?" He said, "I don't know. I didn't read that far." I said, "It's in the same verse. You didn't read it at all. Somebody just told him, I suppose." So the Bible, it's amazing how little we know about the Bible. We need to be studying this book. It's the answer to every important question in the world. In conclusion, if there are those here this evening who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, it is my pleasure to tell you this evening how to obey the gospel. You must hear the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You must believe it, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13 and 3, Acts 3, 19. You must confess the name of Christ before men, Matthew 10, 32, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38, Galatians 3, 27, 1 Peter 3, 21, and on we go. Listen, folks, we've got some of our own people today who are claiming that baptism is not necessary for the remission of sins. The Bible says it is. That's what we need to remember. Maybe you're here tonight and you've done some things that are wrong. I'm not talking about personal things, but if you feel you have shamed the church and you would like to ask these brethren to pray with you and for you, we're certainly willing to do that while we stand and while we sing.